I like true crime, so I decided to make a true crime podcast where I cover true crime stories year by year.
And I hate true crime, so I decided to beef up my wife's true crime podcast by telling people what was on TV during each one of those murders, or who was winning that wrestling match during that awful rape.
The result is American Timelines, where we cover strange, fascinating happenings.
And sometimes silly stories, and even birthdays. Didn't you always wonder when Don Cheadle was born?
No.
Didn't you at least wonder what the number one song was when Don Cheadle was born?
No.
Well, what did you want to know?
Just about murder. Sweet, sweet, grisly murder.
Well, sometimes you talk about UFOs or ghost stories, too.
Yes, those are cool, too.
And who hasn't wondered what episode of 227 was on during a haunting?
Everyone.
Download and subscribe to American Timelines by History for Jerks. You can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better than it sounds.
It really is.
American Timelines by History for Jerks, the greatest podcast ever.
Warning, the following podcast may contain descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Any views are all our own and do not in any way reflect the places where we work.
Hello, welcome to this week's Mad or Bad.
My name is Rachel.
And I'm Neil. And this week we go back to March 2011 and the murder of 25-year-old Jar Ashton. Jar was born in China and she actually left China, kind of sent or encouraged by a mum at age 16, to come to the UK for a better life. Not sure who she lived with when she came over to the UK. I presume some kind of family. From what I can make out, I'm not sure who. Jar's mum and the majority of her family stayed in China. She obviously went to school, and eventually she attended the University of Warwick, where she completed a degree in economics, graduating in 2007. Whilst at university, she met and in 2006 married her husband Matthew. Matthew went on to become a music teacher. There's some lovely pictures actually of the wedding on the internet, and I remember in the newspaper at the time of the wedding, which was actually back home for Jar in China. Matthew and Jar lived together in Summercoats, which is a small town about 10 miles from Nottingham in the East Midlands of the UK. So again, it's another local case to Rachel and I. We used to live, before we moved here, where we live now, and where we are now is probably only about, 8 and 9 miles.
Yeah, we lived really close.
But we did live, you know, sort of a couple of miles from where Jar and Matthew lived. And I know, you know, it's another local kind of case. It sounds like we live in, you know, somewhere really dangerous, doesn't it? I mean, the first one, I think episode one, that was sort of like over 40 years ago. So
it was.
Did
she move over on her own then?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of information. Yeah, I mean, whether she was kind of put on the plane over there by mum and then collected off the train back out, plane when she got over here by another member of the family. But yeah, even so, it is, yeah.
Hmm.
And she did really well. So after graduating, Jar was successful in gaining a position as a systems analyst. Not really sure what a systems analyst does, but she got a job at Thornton's, the chocolate makers, on their graduate scheme.
Lucky girl.
I don't think she was making the chocolates, was she?
No.
I remember, you know, when I was a sixth form, I went for this temporary job in the summer at Thornton's.
Did you?
And that was when it was at Belper, which is another fracture that's not there now, listeners. But and I remember I'd like if you know like when you get a box of chocolates, and it's got like that where the chocolates are placed in, you know,
yeah,
like inside.
The tray.
So that's it. So the tray comes along quite fast, I thought, and you have to like, you're responsible for like, I don't know, the vanilla fudge.
Oh, so you only do the one.
Well,
chocolate.
It was then, yeah. But honestly,
I think that's all.
I didn't get the. Position.
Although, you had one job to do and you didn't get the vanilla fudge into its place.
But in my defence, as I told anyone that would listen at the time, when we were all like met in reception, there were like all these other people that were applying.
Yeah.
They were all saying, like, they all knew each other because every Christmas, every summer, yeah, and Easter.
They all go for the same.
Yeah, so I was competing with someone that had been. At least that's the story.
So what, you had to compete to see who could get it?
Well, we're only taking so many on, yeah.
So it was who could do the job, basically. Well, did you just eat the vanilla fudge instead?
No, I didn't eat any.
One for you, one for the boss.
No, no, I just want, you know. I think my dexterity would improve if given time, but there were no time. So Thorntons, as UK listeners will more than likely know, the makers of chocolate and, you know, well, chocolate. And they have a few cafes as well, don't they? They have a few cafes where, you know, you buy a coffee, you get a free chocolate, and I think they might do. Yeah, they do like. They do like some cakes and that, don't they? But
I don't really know. They do good Easter eggs, and they do really good boxes of chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember them. I don't know whether this says more about the money that was around when I was a kid or not, but I remember them as, or appeared to me then, that they were more like a luxury brand. But I think due to, I think so, it's probably an element of, you know, me being a kid and the fact that we didn't have them.
I think they are a bit luxury. I don't know. Though. Like, they're a step up from like a box of roses.
They are, but I think probably due to competition, I think they've had to do a lot of discounting.
Yeah.
And they shut a lot of shops, didn't they, a few years ago.
Do you know what it makes me think of? And it's a bit off topic.
So they always seem to be on offer, don't they, in supermarkets? Have you never seen
that?
No, or like Own Bargains and stuff.
Yeah.
Another discount UK shop.
Do you know what it makes me think of? Do you know Lindt, which obviously are like more upmarket?
I'd say they're another step up, yeah, Lindt.
Do you know the pick and mix Lindt that you get in some of the outlet shops? Genie Macaroon Bar.
Yeah, there's one at the...
Oh my God, that's dangerous.
Isn't it, yeah.
They're quite expensive, though.
Yeah, they are. You buy them per the grams, don't you?
And oh, it's so good. You can get like one of every flavour.
So Jar was quite local to where she worked and where she lived. It was only, I would say, a couple of miles. Often Jar would, she'd walk, listen to her music on her, whatever she had at the time, 2011 MP3 player probably, or don't know, did phones. If she had an iPod,
something.
First iPhone was, well, it was an iPod, wasn't it?
iPod, that's it.
No, MP3, yeah, probably an iPod. God,
iPods.
Yeah. Did you have an iPod?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to have an iPod.
I had a really expensive one, actually.
Oh, of course.
And this is when I went to college, so it would have been, what would that have been, 20...
Rich student.
No, listen, right? Mm. So basically, I had a lovely stolen iPod. It got bloody stolen. Our apartment got broken into by other students who lived there. And I know exactly who it was as well. I couldn't prove it. And they stole my fucking iPod.
Did you ever approach them? Did you ever say?
Yeah, of course I did. You know what I'm like. They just denied it. But like, I was like, I know you did it.
Nah, fuckers.
But yeah, never got it back.
Yeah, bastards.
Those things cost a fortune. It was one of those, the bigger ones.
Mm, like 64 megabytes.
Thick. Yeah, it was like a thick
thing. Yeah, I had one of them. And the last one I had was an iPod Nano, which was about...
I had one of them, yeah, little skinny.
They were really good though, weren't they?
With the little tiny little things, yeah. And then I had the little shuffle thing as well.
Sorry, that was a shuffle.
I didn't like the shuffle because you couldn't, there was no screen.
Yeah, you couldn't see, yeah.
So, okay, supposed to know what's
happening. Well, you just yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I wonder if they sell them anymore.
No, I don't think they do.
I doubt it.
Production. You could get an iPod Shuffle, couldn't you, on eBay or something?
But like, why would you when you have your phone these days?
Well, you wouldn't, would you? I mean,
there's no point, is there?
But going back to like what appeared to be a luxury item at one time and now it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
Now, I remember when iPhones first came out. I think it was 2008.
Yeah.
So 2008. I remember, and even the few years after that, when the iPhones first come out, first few years, I thought they were like a real, like, you know... it still appeared like we both got iPhones and it still does to me when I've got it, you know, I still think, oh, this is nice. But they're common, everyone's got one, aren't they? Kids. You know.
What was your first mobile phone that you ever had?
It was a...
Nokia?
No, it was a Motorola.
Yeah.
And I bought it from Argos at Ilkeston, another place you used to live.
Yeah.
And it was...
Was it a flip phone?
No, not one of them like Razer ones. No,
yeah,
no.
That's what I was thinking.
I never had one.
My sister a pink one of those.
You did?
My sister.
Did she? No, it was like kind of quite big, but...
Mine was a Nokia 3210, of course.
And then
classic.
They did like 3310s.
Indestructible.
Yeah, I had one of them, yeah. Good phones.
Classic, great.
They bought Yeah, indeed.
And I had like a leopard skin, because you could change the...
No, you pull them off, don't things. You? If it's plastic, yeah.
Yeah, the covers. And I had a leopard skin one. Thought I was so cool. Mm. I was 12.
Yeah, you were... Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they are good phones. Battery lasts ages, don't
they? Oh my God, like days. Mm. I don't know who the hell I was talking to on it, because like...
Don't know. No, it's your mates, isn't it? Because you lived out of the way a bit, so I suppose...
In the country.
So Jar lived quite local to where she worked, actually, probably a couple of miles. Often she would walk back, listening on her MP3 player or on her phone or whatever, you know, listening to music. Or sometimes, on occasion, a colleague would give her a lift home. So, to the 10th of March, 2011. So, as usual, Jar finished work at 5 p.m. And she was last seen by the man at the security gate, so the security man or whatever, at the entrance to the factory, you know, where the long drive is into the...
Yeah.
So he, because obviously she finished at 5, had to walk down the drive, and he saw her just kind of, you kind of come out the Thornton's basically and turn right. Mm. So that's where she was last seen. And he described her as just having her headphones on with a hood up, the hood pulled up. She then turned, I think...
It would have been, I'm just thinking, likewise, it would have been quite dark.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention that. I mean, it's March, it's 10th of March, and it's 5 p.m.
Like,
so,
getting dark, I would say. I would have thought... Not dark, dark, though, because it is March.
Definitely a twilight.
Yeah, that's what I would think, yeah.
So, yeah, she turned left onto the path, and locals apparently called that the Yellow Brick Road. I'm not sure... Mm. What I remember at the time when that was in the papers, I'd never heard of that nickname at all. I don't know if the stone that they use is slightly yellowish.
Is it the yellowy limestone, perhaps?
Like, yellowy which limestone. Is, limestone's like the, white, isn't it?
Well, the stuff that's on our house is yellow.
Oh, right. Yeah, maybe. But I remember doing some, following this, you know, me having an interest in true crime, shortly after this happened. Mm. And I went up there, which... kind of was a bit...
I think you've pointed it out to me after.
Yeah, I think I have.
Times.
Yeah, when we used to live up there, yeah. And I don't remember it being yellowy. But anyway, it might be nothing to do with that. And like Rachel just said, yeah, I thought about this when I was researching for this, that, you know, first part of March, 5 p.m, yeah, quite dark. Mm. Although, you know, as we know, or as we've said before in other cases, you know, that's not to say that she shouldn't. I'm not trying to blame.
No, just.
But
just to
reality,
have it,
though, isn't it? You
just
know,
to have it in your head,
isn't it? Yeah. So I think it would have been quite.
Set
dark.
The scene.
Now the path. If you imagine, I think where Thornton's is, it's at the bottom of a industrial estate, and where the path is, I think all of that area. I think it was in the 70s when the industrial estate was built. But some of where Thornton's and the path is, or all of it, or just some of it, used to be a mine, a pit, you know, a coal mine. And that, but I think that closed, I think, like late 60s. So what it was in between, I mean, I don't know how long Thornton's factory has been there as well. So so my point saying that is the path. If you imagine the path, kind of loose sort of stone path, it's not like muddy, it's like stone going up. And this is how it was. It's interestingly enough, it's been changed since. And then to the left of the path, probably 10 feet from where the path is, it's kind of like plantation of trees. And I seem to think by the age of the trees, not that I'm a tree specialist, you understand, but they're not dead old, if you see what I mean. I think it was like done when the path was done.
Yeah,
and
okay,
when the,
yeah.
Yeah. And all that. So it's quite an isolated place. I think.
Well, we walked down it, didn't we? I thought it was quite isolated.
Did we walk down that one?
I think so, because I remember you saying it to me.
Yeah, we did actually, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little, like, jitty.
Yeah, but you know now it's in the middle. The path's in the middle, kind of the trees now.
Yeah.
It used to be to the left-hand side or to the right.
I remember you saying
it
that
it would be
me.
The right-hand side when Jar was coming back from work, obviously. Yeah. The left-hand side when she was going to work.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of in the path where she would have got over to walk straight on the old path, as Jar would know. That's kind of been the style. It's been like, it's just got a fence there now.
Yeah, the path I remember seeing that.
Whether that's because of what happened there, or I don't see as it would be because of that. No idea. Just interesting, anyway. So that was a route that, you know, that Jarl would obviously know very, very well, and it would cut off, probably like a third off a journey time.
And it's a short one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because where Thornton's is, where she worked, is kind of at the bottom of the industrial estate. Do you remember, Rachel, when we went to walk there? It's quite a walk before you even get to the
off
the industrial estate, you see.
Yeah, because you come out the other side and Thornton's is on your left.
Yeah. So she would have done that, this journey, loads and loads and loads of time. However, that day, so she was last seen, as I say, by the watchman, or what do you call him, security man, or whatever.
The security man.
And that was it. She that's the last time she was seen alive. Mm. Now, so obviously she never got home, never returned home. Now, her husband, Matthew, who I think I mentioned, he was... hopefully he still is, I don't know, you know, a music teacher, I think, to secondary school. And, you know, what time the teachers finish, I know what time the classes, I don't know, say he got home half five, that's, you know, she wasn't there, and obviously he's thinking, where is she? Now, you know, obviously he would have tried ringing her, no response, I don't know who else he knew, any kind of work colleagues and stuff, but initially, as quite often this happens, doesn't it, to rule the person closest to them, suspicion fell on Matthew. And I remember listening to this. I remember it being on the news at the time, you know, that he'd been questioned, whether he was actually arrested or whether he kind of voluntarily... Yeah. I mean, you've got nothing to hide. You would voluntarily... I would.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Here's my phone, here's my whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah. And they'll always look at, like, you know, boyfriend or husband first.
Well, I think suspicion's got a little, kind of heightened. And I remember this being reported as well. Was that the night before, so Matthew had not seen his wife, Jarl, until... since the night before. They'd slept apart following some kind of argument. Matthew had stayed in the travel lodge at Alfreton, which is obviously, you know, where that is then. It's still there.
Travel lodge, Alfreton.
Yeah, near the...
Yeah.
So basically, just a few miles away. He stayed there the night before. And then, after some kind of argument, you know, everyone has arguments, don't they? And then he... although, must have been a...
Bit of a big one if you
although it depends
hotel.
On their tolerance of, do you know what I mean? Some people's tolerance in arguments may be...
I have told you to go down to the Premier
Inn. I mean, we've got Premier Inn down here, and I'd be living there permanently if my tolerance... if tolerance for... Obviously, he was interviewed by Derbyshire Constabulary, but he was subsequently quite quickly cleared of any wrongdoing at all.
But surely he had an alibi as well if he was at work.
Well, if Matthew...
Because he wouldn't have had enough time to, like...
No, I mean, he was probably, someone probably said, well, he didn't leave work till 4:45.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where he lived. He might have worked. He might have worked 45 minutes away, and then it would have been possible, you know.
Yeah.
But there again, what time did Jarl die? Anyway, but he was cleared. So after Matthew was completely cleared of any wrongdoing at all, obviously a missing person investigation began. Unfortunately, 3 days later, Jarl's body was found in the plantation of trees to the left of the path, as I described earlier.
Kind of surprised it took 3 days, to be honest. Surely, like,
I think it was a mountain rescue team, actually. They'd have just been helping with the... It's not mountainous, this area.
No, it's
not
at all.
But they would have just been helping with the search, wouldn't they, is what I mean. It's just more hands on the... it is quite surprising, that, actually, because the Sleetmoor Woods, where she was, where the path cuts through, is... I mean, it's easy to say this. I was going to say it's not very big. I guess if you're searching for...
It's not, though. And, God, surely, like...
It's probably bigger than it seems when you're searching for something. But, and surely that would have been one of the first places they searched. Because
that's
they would
what
have known
I'm thinking,
that.
Yeah.
But anyway. So it was in the plantation of trees. She'd been physically assaulted. And her injuries were described by police as horrendous to her head and chest. It was thought that the injuries that Jar sustained were from kicking and punching.
Was she sexually?
No sexual element at all to the death, to the murder. But the actual cause of death was actually, I mean, this is horrendous, was one of her own atria in her chest, basically crushed, you know. So she would have cardiac arrest. She would have, it was actually ruptured.
Weird.
Yeah. I think police said, you know, it looked as though, you know, he'd obviously made some kind of attempt to, bit of a shit attempt though, isn't it? I mean, he tried to sort of cover her up and then belongings just strewn everywhere and
a
bag up a tree.
Sounds quite like chaotic, like it wasn't very well planned.
Panicky or something maybe, wouldn't it? So understandably, Matthew was absolutely devastated, calling Jar his, quote, pocket princess. Now, Jar was only, she's a very petite lady, she was only 4'10", 6 stone. So
tiny.
Tiny, yeah. How tall are you?
I'm 5'1½". The half is very important.
5'1". 5'1½". So, yeah, so she's very small, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And even so, it would still, surely still took quite a bit of pressure to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've never tried.
No, I know.
I'd imagine
Jesus.
So.
So she only had little size 2 feet.
Size 2?
Size 2, yeah.
It's like a child size.
Yeah, well, she was a small lady, isn't she? So Matthew added that Jar was a totally selfless person and she got a kick out of helping others, encouraging others.
Yeah.
So, obviously, now started a full-on murder investigation with 90 police officers on the case. And I do remember there being several roadblocks in the area at the time, but they kind of appeared to be sort of stopping just seemingly random cars at the time. So
I'm sure there was some method to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a police officer, am I? It didn't look like there was any method to it. But
it's hard to know where to start with that, though.
Well, that leads me on. Segues into. So there was some CCTV from a nearby pub called the Coates Park, which is kind of at the top of the kind of middle of an industrial estate, really, just up from Thornton's. Now, the CCTV was from the evening of the murder. They established that she was murdered on that evening.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's. The body's been found by now, so they know exactly when she was died. Well, near enough. So to our knowledge, and obviously with the hindsight that now we know who the killer is that obviously we're going to talk about, the man that was on the CCTV, I mean, God knows who he was. He never came forward, and he certainly wasn't the man who killed him, and he didn't look like anything. He doesn't look, even with the grainy CCTV footage, he doesn't look like a man who... So he was kind of... out of the equation, really. But he's, as I say, he's certainly not the murderer.
Okay.
Ten page. But obviously, you know, that if it's a pub just up the road, you're certainly going to go with that, aren't you? I don't know why, because we're not privy, are we, to all the information that the police, all their rationale, why they thought that was worthy of looking at. You know, maybe it was a man that the bar staff never met before, didn't know who he was. Maybe he was acting what they termed as bizarrely. But then again, there's a lot of people around here that are bizarrely, aren't they?
How dare you?
They're not murderers. Yeah.
Or are they?
Well, you never know, do you? So, now on the day of the murder as well, obviously this information came to light when Jar's body was murdered. Now, the path where Jar walked and the woods near, you know, quite a popular dog walking place as well, you know, it's ideal really, isn't it? Now a dog walker or dog walkers on that day described seeing a man And I think he's described as like thick set, quite tall, and he was, and he looked, I think they said he looked dishevelled, or possibly homeless.
Mm.
And apparently when this man spotted these dog walker or dog walkers looking at him, he kind of nipped back in the wood, trying to kind of keep out of.
Mm. So waiting for something.
Well,
perhaps.
Well, we'll. So he was definitely somebody that the police wanted to speak to. Very interested in speaking to. Now, and again, I'll kind of come on to this, but the artist impression that was issued at the time was a pretty good one, actually, as it turns out, of the bloke. Yeah.
It's usually they're shite, let's face it.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, they used to do these photo fit things where, like, the eyes were, like, different and the nose.
Yeah,
and
it's like, awful. Stick these eyes on and this nose.
It used to be this,
and
when I was...
Almost like Guess Who or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that's sort of how it was, wasn't it? And I remember, I don't know if anyone ever can remember this, but when I was... I couldn't have been very old at all. There was this programme, I think it was on about 6:30, and it was called... I don't know what it was on in... if your mum ever listens to this, but if she can remember this or whatever.
Well, she says she does, so yeah, we'll find out.
Test them. There's a programme with a bloke called Shaw Taylor. Only person I've ever known that's Christian name with Shaw. But it was called Police 5, the programme. And I remember having these photo fit songs. I think it was about 6:30 in an evening or once a week or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, who the hell is anyone going to recognise? And this was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Has anyone going to recognise? Anyway, I digress. But Police 5, I'm sure it's on
I've
YouTube.
I've never heard of it.
No, I mean,
is it before my time.
Kind of
when you were a young child.
It's kind of nearly before. Oh God, yeah. But people of a certain age or whatever. Whether the police at this time had any other, I'm sure they did have other inquiries, lines of inquiry, but they were definitely concentrating their efforts on the person seen in the woods on the evening of Jar's murder. Now, police were able to take DNA from Jar's body and her belongings. And it's written in several places, actually, when I did the research for this episode, that police search a homeless register, as they would, because, you know, was this bloke homeless? And
I didn't know there was a register.
Well, no, I didn't. That's why I say... Oh, that's now a coughing.
Yeah.
He's just sort of teething, Rachel, hasn't he? He's only 2 months old, isn't he?
Yeah, that's
he?
Fun.
Yeah, he's only...
Hence the yawning.
He's only 2 months old. Yeah.
Actually, we had yawning before that, to be fair.
Yeah. So this homeless register... Well, you can register yourself as homeless at the council.
Wait,
so.
Are we bad parents for speaking about true crime in front of our son?
Just going into a subconscious.
Anyways, yeah. So a homeless register... I've never heard about.
Yeah, because if you imagine, if you think when some people get discharged from hospital,
yeah,
they're told to go and register as homeless.
Oh.
So.
Fair enough.
So anyway, it threw up the name. I don't know how it threw up the name. I don't know if they entered.
You know, homeless man.
Homeless man looking like a homeless man. It threw up a name.
Disheveled.
It's like loads.
Poor hygiene.
Because obviously, if you're homeless, it's going to be the last thing on your bloody mind, isn't it? Having your hair, brushing your hair, I mean, it's more about keeping warm and dry, isn't it? So, anyway, I suppose it brought up other names as well, but one such name that it came up was a name of David Simmons.
David Simmons,
remember that name?
That's a naughty man's name if I ever heard one.
Well, this fucker's a very naughty.
Oh. Jesus.
David Simmons, so he was 21 years old at the time, and he was often nicknamed Smithy.
Smithy.
And James Corden's character from Gavin and Stacey. I hate that programme. I'm not a massive fan of James Corden. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't give a toss what I think of him. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. I just find him really annoying.
Oh, no, I like him.
Yeah,
I think he's
really
quite
annoying.
Down to earth.
I think he's got more annoying since he's gone to America. Albeit, this David Simmons that we're talking about in here, he was 6'1". He was like a 6'1" version.
Jesus.
And 19 stone. Although, to be fair, James Corden probably is 19 stone.
I know he's lost a ton of weight.
Oh, he did, but then I think he's put on again. Anyway, we're not fat shaming anyone. I'm just saying. Well, no, I'm just saying.
He's a big fucker.
I'm saying that this David Simmons is 19 stone. I'm kind of mentioning his weight because I'm
well,
just
in
thinking.
Well, comparison to her, that's absolutely ginormous.
Well, he's not. He's a real odd man, isn't he? He's 19 stone, 6 foot one. She's 4 foot ten and 6 stone.
Pick on your own size.
So mate. There's no wonder that. Anyway, we'll come on to it. So obviously, as well, you know, he did fit ish the artist impression. And it was also known that he'd been to what we say in the UK as sign on. Mm. So he was in Alfreton, which is just up the road, on the same day. Yeah. So he was in the vicinity. So they knew he, they didn't know for definite that he was, you know, down near Thornton's on the footpath, but they knew he was in that vicinity. Yeah, yeah. I think his mum lived in Heena, which is about 6 miles away. They knew.
And was he homeless then?
Well, I'll come on to that a little bit, but he had registered as homeless. He was still on that kind of register, but technically he'd been dossing somewhere. But I'll come on to that. So, yeah, he was claiming Job Seeker's Allowance and he'd been to sign on the Alfreton Job Centre, which is, you know, from the footpath where Jar was on, probably a couple of miles. So he was definitely...
not that far, though, is it?
No. So he was placed in the vicinity. Now, he'd been living... Just to answer, Rachel, your question about was he homeless, was he... Technically, he was on a register for being homeless,
yeah.
But he'd been kind of dossing or living above this Indian restaurant on, I think it's an Indian, on Derby Road in Heena, which I think is also where his mother lived.
Yeah.
Not above the... She didn't also live in the bedsit thing above that, but she lived in Heena.
Yeah.
And as a... You know, it's about 6-7 miles away, isn't it, Heena from... Mm-hmm. So...
There and was, Alfreton Job Centre would be the closest job centre, wouldn't it? So it would make sense that he went to Alfreton.
No, we have to go to a particular one, right? Oh. So maybe where he was living before he was made homeless, maybe he was living nearer that one. That's why he got designated.
Oh,
he had to go to Alfreton.
In Heena?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but was he living at that one in Heena officially? Was it just chucking a few quid to the restaurant staff?
Yeah.
Disclaimer, I don't know if there are any... restaurant staff know anything about or whatever. I'm just
loving Indian.
I'm just
though.
Saying. Just saying. What person or a... a meal. So obviously, police, they wanted to speak to him. He denied any involvement at all. And
of course.
Yeah. He'd been, as I say, mum lived in Heena. He'd been kind of drifting from job to job, but he was currently... I don't know if he was doing a bit of, like, cashing in work in the restaurant. I might be just making that up.
Well, you know.
Obviously, the restaurant...
Cash in hand?
Well, it's illegal. They didn't know anything about what he'd, you know, kind of done or whatever. Now, there's a DNA match, and he was arrested on the 5th of May, 2011. He was charged with murder on the 6th of May.
Ah.
And he was held on remand.
DNA was found then? Was it like on her belongings?
Well, there was DNA on a phone he was snapped in two, yeah. On a bag, you know, where they chucked it,
wasn't
and on a body.
Wasn't very clever about how he did it, was
no,
it?
No. So he was held on remand at the very grim, indeed, Nottingham Prison.
Mm.
I just went to school with someone that he was, I think he was done for defrauding a company or something.
Jesus.
And I think he went to Nottingham for a bit before he went to an open prison. He said it was fucking horrendous. Obviously, it's prison. I'm all for it.
Well, yeah. If horrendous. You break the law, then tough shit.
So during the police, you know, obviously getting all their information together for the trial, Simmons was found to have gone... He actually went to a fish and chips takeaway on the evening of Giles' murder. And he made mention to the staff when he went in the fish and chip shop that... I think he had scratches on his arms and his hands. And obviously, you know, the staff aren't going to say... Whether he knew this staff on speaking, you know, like just chat levels or what, I don't know. But he kind of made a point of saying, oh, you know, these scratches here. And he kind of made it was kind of like you were the hero for breaking up a fight or something. So he kind of...
It was on his mind, clearly.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? So whether we, you know, we're never going to know, are we? Unless he decides to say, but were these scratches, were they from Jar fighting back, or was it from him, you know, all the trees and the bushes? Because this plantation, yeah, there are, from what I remember, yeah, there's kind of, I think they're kind of like ash trees, and but they're not very, it's not a very mature.
Yeah, they're not like very dense, are they?
No, but they're, I think there's some like bushes in as well that you could kind of scratch. So, I mean, we don't know, do we? I know it's only a minor point, but but as we said earlier on, I mean, there's probably, you know, bless her, probably not a lot of fighting back because of the size of this twat compared with Jar. I mean, he was three times away. So eventually admitted to the murder. Now, I searched his belongings in this bedsit cum dost house or whatever. I don't know what it was, this little flat thing. I remember driving by and looking at it, this like little like window where he'd lived in Hina. It looked a bit grim. There was a letter addressed to his mum in his belongings saying that, sorry, I've ruined your life. Although there was no such note to, you know, sorry, I've ruined taking your life, Jar, or sorry, I've ruined your life, Matthew, or do you know what I mean? It was to his mum. So he eventually pled guilty at Nottingham Crown Court, and on the 29th September 2011, he was sentenced for, have a guess.
Ooh.
I was quite surprised at this, actually, in a good way.
Oh, in a good way, okay. 20 years.
28 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought that was, I thought that was good.
Is there parole as part of that?
No idea. Whether he serves off for that, I mean, that's for... Just think that our time goes on. If he served off, and I don't know if this is the case, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And presumably he's going to get parole, isn't he?
Depends what he's like.
I mean, on his behaviour, but obviously sometimes people get sentenced with no chance of... say you've got to serve your sentence, or a minimum of.
Yeah, I guess they'd look at, like, had he previous offences and things as well. Yeah,
certainly he didn't have any other previous offences, anything like this.
Yeah.
This was like...
the first big...
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. You know, I think... but if he did have to serve 14 years, 2025, that's 5 years. You know, that's not long, is it, taking someone's life?
No.
You know, anyway, we won't get onto that because I think we've mentioned that before. Detective Superintendent Terry Brannan of Derbyshire Police, so he called Simmons, quote, an habitual liar, and he kind of, he made every attempt, you know, denying, trying to give him false information, trying to, and I think that together with kind of the ferocity of the attack probably didn't help his and denying it for quite a long time.
And
that
it's
wouldn't
like,
have
why,
helped his...
like why? Like, well, what was the motive?
Well, there's some discussion about that. I mean, there's some discussion about that, and didn't appear to be any motive. Now, what they think was that, you know, was it a robbery gone wrong? Was it? I mean, obviously, it was the wrong place, wrong time for Jar. But was he hanging down there to rob someone? Was he just hanging out down there and was an opportunist? Did he intend to kill her? Was he intend to rob, but then he went too far?
And she fought back and maybe he went
maybe. He's not said. Certainly not reported that he's said. Whether he's whether he has now, whether he will when he wants to maybe get parole and... you know, play the system. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Matthew, so Jar's husband, you know, he was saying basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was kind of not looking forward to the trial, but he wanted the trial to come around. It was about 6 months after Jar died. Mm. And he wanted to try and get some kind of closure.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, no sentence is ever enough.
No.
And he said that he'd try and, you know, live his life how he knew that Jar would want him to. You know, they spoke together before about, well, they said about having children, sadly that was never going to happen, but they mentioned about, Matthew had mentioned before about wanting to be, work to be a head teacher of a school and maybe progress his music qualifications, you know, as a music teacher, but take that further. And, you know, he said Jar was very encouraging of that. Yeah, you can do it. You know, you can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. And obviously it's, well, just over nine years since she was murdered.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it?
It is very sad, yeah. And whether Matthew's still living where he did live or where they lived, I mean, I don't know how that... I mean, that must be... I don't know. You'd kind of want to stay in the same house because it's where you had all the good memories, but then is it too much?
Yeah, it's a lot to... But then wouldn't you feel bad, like, moving as well? I think that's how I'd feel, like...
Yeah.
Because it's something that you'll never get back, is the house, how it was and everything.
And but then, you know, it's like if you lose anyone, but then do you want it to be, like, become a shrine to... Do you know? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard and it's different for everyone.
I wouldn't know what to do.
No, and with her dying, that's... It's not like she... Don't get me wrong, must be hard enough if somebody dies of a terrible illness. Yeah. But when they died in that, you know, in that violent,
awful,
and it's only like 2 miles up the road where she died. I mean, I don't know.
What it's a tough, waste of a life for literally absolutely. No, it not for, is, like a it? Reason makes it better, but like literally though.
I mean, you know, it's. Jar's life first and foremost. A mum in China, she came over for the trial.
Mm.
You know, obviously Matthew. And it's awful, isn't it? I mean, I hope wherever Matthew is, I mean, maybe he's still there. I hope he did achieve or he's working towards achieving some of the goals that he and Jar spoke about.
Oh, bless him.
So you've enjoyed this episode of Mad or Bad and... What is a very sad case, actually.
Has it been covered by any other podcast? I've never...
I mean, look, there were loads of bloody true crime podcasts.
That's a very good point. There's a lot.
Not any that... Well, obviously, we listen to similar ones, don't we? Not any that I've listened to, and...
I know, I'd never heard of it before you told me about it. So, we will see you in 2 weeks' time for a long episode again.
Thank you. Goodbye.
See you. Bye.
As always, catch us on facebook.com/madorbad. You can catch us on Twitter. Our handle is @madorbadthepod. And also, we now have a Patreon account. So please go look us up. It is patreon.com/madorbad. You can access exclusive content. We have exclusive episodes only available to Patreon supporters. So, go find us.